searching for happiness, this the way to go. You say you want peace, this the way to go. If you trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all wanna live, this the way to go. 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 This the way to go.
You are now listening to The Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
In our verse, 1 Thessalonians 2 and 13, is the Word of God. If you notice my notes, it's very important that you understand that the Word of God is the most powerful tool and resource that young people have access to. Smartphone is a powerful tool. You can use a smartphone to do a number of things, but it's not more powerful than God's Word. A college degree is a wonderful tool, but it's not more powerful than the Word of God. Money, it answers, the Bible says, all things. Money is a powerful tool, but it's not more powerful than the Word of God. Always remember, young folk, you have access to the most powerful resource here on earth, God's Word. I want to take you into the scripture and give you some more truths about why this is so. Why God's Word is so powerful, and other truths about the Word of God. Let's start in John 1. St. John, chapter number 1. And let's look at the first verse of chapter number 1. Now, y'all prove to me that you're following me. I want you to pick it up when I put it down, all right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Look at this. And the Word was God. The reason God's Word is the most powerful resource here on earth is because the Word is God. The Word is God. Look at somebody and say, the Word is God. That's it. Bottom line. From Genesis to Revelation is God's Word. And it's filled with the promises of God. And whenever God makes a promise, it's so. Because it is impossible for God to lie. We have a tool that if God said it, he can make it good. We have promises that are yes and amen. Jesus went so far, young people, to say everything on earth, heaven and earth, matter of fact, will pass away, but not God's Word. Everything is going to change, but not God's Word. God is unchanging. If God's Word says he would bless us, no matter what we go through, guess what God is going to do? He's going to bless us. If God said he's going to heal us, no matter what we go through in our body, guess what God is going to do? Heal us. Why? He is his word. Tell somebody, God is his word. All right, let's go over to the same chapter, John chapter number 1, and let's go down to verse number 2. Let's look at 2 and 3, and it reads, he was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were, help me, made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. So what is this saying about the Word? The Word, young people, has creative power. The word makes things when you consider these verses. The word creates things that we see and things that we don't see. Say that with me. Say, God's word has creative power. God's word can create what we need in life. If I need God to do something, God's word will show me how to create the result. God's word has creative power. He can make things that, again, I see and things that I don't see. How is this so, Pastor? You remember in Genesis chapter number 1, the earth was void and without form. But then God, who is his word, he began to create everything that we see. In Genesis 1 and 3, he spoke, let there be light. And guess what was created? Light. Letting us know, young people, that we can speak God's word and we can create things. Minister Thomason said it earlier, death and life is in the power of the tongue. So we have to realize God has given us the ability to create death and life when we speak, because that's according to his word. You have that power. You have that ability when you and I use the word properly. But then over in John 15 and 7, I'm not going to go there, but Jesus talks about how if his word abides in us, we can ask him whatever we desire, and guess what? He'll do it. Letting us know that the word has creative power. Come on, look at somebody and say, the word has creative power. So that means you can curse yourself or bless yourself. You can be more conscious of God, or you can be more conscious of your problems. We can create what God has deemed we can in his word. Boy, that gets me excited. Look at somebody and say, the word is God, and the word has creative power. All right. Let's go to Psalm 119. All right. Y'all sound like y'all with me this morning. Okay, let's go to Psalm 119. And notice verse number 28. Psalmist writes, my soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Y'all didn't pick it up. Strengthen me according to your word. Strengthen me according to your God's word strengthens. God's word strengthens. It empowers. When you feel like giving up, God's word will revive you. When you feel like you can't, God's word says that we can. God's word will strengthen. When it seems like it's not going to work out, God's word will empower you to know that all things work out together for his good. Tell somebody, God's word strengthens. Yeah, when you are dealing with the cares of life, when you're dealing with low self-esteem, when you're dealing with suicidal thoughts, when you're dealing with things that are negative, I dare you to start speaking and praying according to God's word. Why, Pastor? The word will strengthen you. I dare you to come to God's house hungering and thirsting for some righteousness. Watch God's word start empowering you right where you sit. God's word has the ability to strengthen you when you're going through tough times. God's word has the ability to cause you to see the unseen, has the ability to cause you to know that things are going to work out as long as you stay in the will of God. God's word will strengthen you. Weed ain't got nothing on God's word. Getting high ain't got nothing on God's word. Putting in some music to try to take your mind off of your problems, that ain't got nothing on God's word. There is strength. There is power in God's word. Not just the written word, young folk, but more importantly, the spoken or the revealed word. Over in the Bible, God's men of God were preaching the word, and they went to God and said, look, we need some more boldness, and the Holy Spirit fell, strengthened them, and empowered them. There was another text that talks about how one of the apostles was preaching the word, and while he was preaching, the Bible says that the anointing fell, the Holy Spirit fell, and began to empower them, fill them, or strengthen them. You can come to God's church and hear an anointed word, and while you're sitting there listening and receiving the word, you'll start feeling better. Your mind will start being transformed. You'll start thinking, man, I can come out. God's word is telling me I'm going to make it. It's going to work out. I'm all right. That's strength. How many ever come to church and receive some strength from God? Matter of fact, you ain't got to think far back. It's happening right now. Somebody going through something right now, but God's word is strengthening you. It's empowering you. It'll help a marriage that's seemingly on the rocks. You can be listening to the word and you can be like, man, I can make it. We can get this relationship together. You can be broke, but the word will empower you. Man, God gonna meet my needs. God gonna supply it all. Why? Because I am a giver. Look at somebody and say, God's word is strengthening you. That's why I tell young folk near and far, no matter what you go through, make sure you stay in God's church. No matter what type of mistakes you make, make sure you stay in God's church, because there is strength in the sanctuary. There is power in the sanctuary. God will send forth a word to help you make it. You just got to have the mindset that I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to cast away my confidence. I'm going to hang in there. Even though I may have fallen 7 times, God is going to strengthen me to get back up to be the man or the young woman that he desires me to be. Look at somebody and say, God's word will strengthen you. Yeah, it'll empower you so you can graduate. It'll empower you so you can think, talk, and do right. It'll empower you so you can keep running this race. It'll empower you so you'll put a smile on your face. You don't have to be down and out. Not when God's word is strengthening you. Look at somebody and say, it'll empower you. I'm getting happy right now because he's doing it for me while I'm telling you he'll do it. Am I right about it? Am I Bible? All right, let's go to Psalm 119 again. Psalm 119. And notice verse number. I want to look at verse number 50. So what will the word do? The word is God. What else did we learn about the word? It has creative power. What else will the word do? It'll strengthen you. Look at Psalm 119 and verse 50. This is my comfort, Lord, in my affliction. The psalmist going through something, in my problems, in my hardships, in my pain, in my trouble. What happens? For your word has given me life. God's word will give you and I life. What does life mean? He will give us strength as well as divine restoration. See, the psalmist was going through something. It was like, in my opinion, like he just broken. But how many know God can come in and he can mend someone that's broken? He'll give you life. Woo! I said God's word will give us life. life. And one thing I love about how God's word gives us life, we don't even have to have a hand laid on us. All we need to do is just hear that word. We just need to hear that word, and God's word will give us life. Just like blind Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was there. And he said, "Thou son of David, give me some mercy. Give me some restoration. Give me some life." He just heard that word and it changed his life. The centurion that had a sick servant at home, he just said, "Lord, just speak a word and I know my servant will be well. I know if you just speak a word, you'll turn things around." Boy, that's just how powerful God's word is, young folk. You don't even have to come to the altar and the preacher lay a hand. All you need to do is just hear that word, and God will start giving you and I life. You know what Jesus came? He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That's why if your situation looks dead right now, you're in a good position. If your situation looks like it cannot be fixed and you are a child of God, you are in a good situation because God's word can give life to a dead situation. Abraham was trying to get his wife pregnant and the Bible says that their bodies were dead. But God's word gave them life. He said that he was going to give her a child even though they were old in age. What was God doing? He spoke life on them and they believed it. Abraham believed it and he put it into action. And guess what came forth? Life, letting us know no matter what type dead situation you may be in, if you receive God's word, it's going to be fruitful. It's not what it is. It's not what it looks like. It's life in your situation. Look at somebody say, "It's life in my situation." Yeah, you may look broke, but the Bible says you are an heir and joint heir with Christ Jesus. You may be sick, but the Bible says by his stripes you are already healed. Look at somebody say, "It's life in my situation." Oh, it's life in my situation. It may be up under the dirt, but it's life in my situation. My eyes can only see death, but it's life in my situation. Now prophesy to yourself. Say, "It's life in me." Yeah, you've been in church over 15 years. You got word on the inside of you. You got life on the inside of you. You got something on the inside of you that can change everything for the better. Tell somebody, God's word causes life. That's right. So the truths we learn when it comes to God's word is that the word is God. Come on. The word has creative power. That's right. When we pray according to the word, we create what we're praying for. When we speak the word, we are going to create or have what the Bible says, what we say. Tell somebody, say, the Bible has creative power. What else does the word do? It strengthens. It strengthens, it empowers. And finally, we learned that the word gives, it gives life. Boy, that's some good stuff right there, right? Now, in our verse, Paul reveals how to get God's word to work. Now, this is important because nowadays, if folks want to learn how to get something to work, they try to figure it out themselves. Or they go to the internet. How many know I'm telling the truth? Yeah. Man, how I get this watch to work? Folk try to figure it out on their own, or they go straight to the internet. What Google say about this? Yeah, I know I'm right. I know I'm not the only one. I've been guilty in times past. But God is not like man. If we want to know how God operates and how God gets things done, We need to consider his word. We don't need to just do things like ordinary people or sinners do. We don't need to try to figure out how to make things work in our life on our own, young folk. And you have some young people and grown folk that are just like that. They try to figure out, man, how can I just make myself feel better? They try to figure it out on their own. Well, man, how can I make myself do this and do that? They try to figure life out on their own. That's not how we should do. The Bible teaches there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is destruction. And again, I have been guilty. I have tried to make things work on my own and call myself a Christian. Look at somebody say, don't do that. Look at my notes. Mark 7 and 13. Look what Jesus told some folk about the word working. Look at this. Mark 7 and 13. And it says, in part, making the word of God of no effect. Why? Through your tradition, you have handed down many such things you do. These folk were trying to make the word work by doing traditional things, doing what their forefathers and others were doing. You know how some people just go to church and they think, well, I guess we do dues because that's what they do. We just do dues. No, God's word ain't going to work if you give dues. Y'all see? And just different things, different traditions of men. We don't need to be dependent on technology like normal folk. We need to be dependent on God. Because God's word will only come to pass if we do what it prescribes. Are y'all following me? You can't get in life, young folk, or it's not good to get in life and try to figure life out on your own. Or do things just because everybody else is doing it. I love what Bishop said. He said, man, our basis needs to be scripture. Whatever we do, it needs to line up with God's word. Right? Doing like the world does is not the way to get the word of God to work. Doing what the world does and doing what you want to do is not going to get the word to work. You ever heard people say, man, I done tried prayer. Prayer don't work. Man, I done gave, but it ain't nothing happening. Yeah, I did the church thing, but wasn't nothing changing. Something they doing ain't right. We have to do it the way the Bible says to do it. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Don't add to and don't take away. We don't want our worship, young folk, to be tainted. Paul reveals that the word of God effectively works. Look at the key. In you who believe. That's how we get the word to work. If we want God's word to work in our life, we have to live by faith. We have to believe. Why, Pastor? Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. If you're going to be successful as a single young adult, a single Christian young adult, you have to check yourself and say, man, am I living by faith? Am I believing God's word the way I should be? It effectively works. Tell yourself, say, God's word effectively works. Look at what that means. It's mighty. God's word, young people, will get the job done. Whatever you put on the table, God's word will work. Well, I'm just dealing with this depression. Just deal with it based upon God's word. Well, I feel like I'm dealing with some demons all the time. Well, just deal with them demons according to God's word. There was this one man who seen the apostles dealing with demons according to the word. And he just said, look, I want what y'all got. That's all he said. He didn't try to line up with the word. He just said, man, I want what y'all got. Them demons came alive. They said, look, we know Paul, but we don't know you. And the demons jumped on that man, stripped him naked, wounded him, and just messed up his life. Whatever we deal with in life, we need to deal with it according to the word. When you get in a rut financially, don't try to dig yourself out on your own. Just deal with your financial situation based upon the word. I'll never forget this, man. We were going through financially, I'm talking about real hard. I'm talking about hard. And I was just, the only people that called our house was bill collectors. That's all who called our house. Nobody else but bill collectors. And I'll never forget, I just told the Lord in prayer one day. We were getting ready to go with Bishop. He was preaching at a church in Austell. And I said, Lord, I really need to know what to do about this creditor. They keep calling me. They keep calling me. And I'm getting tired and I don't have the money. What do I need to do? I'll never forget this. And so we went to church that night, and I told her, I need a word. I want to handle this the way you want me to handle it. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll direct your path. So we went to the service that night, and I'll never forget that Bishop taught that night about wisdom. He taught about wisdom and how if you lack wisdom in what to do, God will give you wisdom on how to handle whatever situation you're dealing with. So I heard the word and I said, well, Lord, I got a financial situation. And you done said through your prophet, if I'm lacking wisdom, just ask you and you're going to tell me exactly what to do. Man, I heard that message. I jumped in the car. I told my wife, come on. We went back home and I went into prayer, young folk. I said, Lord, the prophet said you would give me some wisdom. Tell me what to do about this situation. And guess what he did? He told me exactly what to do. Gave me the wisdom to pay the debt off. Boy, ain't God good? No matter what situation, young folk, you're dealing with, God has a remedy. If it's something in your marriage, if it's something with your money, something with your body, no matter what it is, God's word has the solution. And it'll get the job completely done. Completely. Look at somebody say, completely. Yeah. See, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so what'll happen, young folk, when you get to talking to God, receiving his word, that's what he's going to do. He's going to give you steps. He'll tell you, do this right here. You stay on that step until he gives you the next step. Don't try to get ahead. Don't get anxious. If he tell you to do one thing, just keep doing that until he tell you the next thing to do. That's how you deal and follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Are y'all learning? Yeah. Because what we do sometimes is we'll go to God. He'll tell us what to do. We'll do it for a little while. And then we'll just stop. Yeah, we'll do it. But look at somebody say, don't do it for a little while. Yeah, make it a part of how you think, talk, and act. Just continue until God takes you, until he takes you to another step. That's how God does. He'll take us through steps and steps until we look around and we see everything that we ask God to do, he done he done did it. And how God is, he'll do exceedingly abundantly above whatever you ask or think. But we got to stay on the steps that he tells us to. It's just like that. If God is telling, look, I just want you to talk like this. Guess what you do? You just talk like that. If he tell you, look, leave certain folk alone, then you just what? Leave them alone. You don't be like, well, I'm strong enough now. No, you're messing up the steps. You just stick to what God is telling you. If he tell you, look, every month you do this right here. You make sure every month you do that. Why? Because God's word, it works. It works. All we got to do is just stick to what he telling us to do. How many have ever been guilty of starting out but stopping? By a show of hands. How many have been guilty of that? Yeah, you'll do it for like a day, or you do it for like maybe even a week. But then you get weary in well doing. You mess your harvest up. You mess your harvest up. So you got to stick to the step until God take you further. Boy, that's some good teaching. So he said it effectively works in those who what? Believe. Y'all still with me? Believe. Got to have the God kind of faith. I got to have the what? God kind of faith. Now listen to this real closely. Everybody has faith. Everybody has faith. Sinners too. Sinners have faith. But remember, the word works in the people of God when we use the God kind of faith. Romans 12 and 3 in part says that God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. The difference between a saint and a sinner is that we have the God kind of faith. Yeah. Even a sinner has faith. They just don't have the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith is what I'm going to define in the text in a few minutes. But bottom line, it doesn't operate by sight. It doesn't operate by sight. We have to use, as young people, as adults, we have to use what type of faith? The God kind of faith. We don't walk by what we see. We walk by the written word and the revealed word. And so in our text, the next few moments of the message, before I close, I want to reveal and talk about what Paul said in the text. Is faith. How do we believe God's word so it can work for us? Okay? Y'all still with me? All right, let's look at 1 Thessalonians 2. Lord have mercy. 1 Thessalonians, our main verse, chapter number 2 and verse number 13. All right? How am I going to get my faith to work the way it need to work? Well, let's look at the verse. Y'all read with me. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing. Y'all fell off. Because when you receive the word of God, which you helped me, heard from us. When it comes to believing or living by faith, young folk, the first thing I need to make sure that I'm doing is receiving the word. I must be the type of young person, young adult or adult, that receives the word. How I receive the word demonstrates or reflects my faith. When a person is receiving the word, they're paying close attention. But they're not only paying attention to the word, they have the mindset that they're going to apply what they have heard. All of us can come to church and take notes. All of us can do that. But if I have received what I wrote in my notes, then I'm going to start and continue to apply it. Yeah. Everybody can take notes and look studious, right? But the key to us receiving is, what are we doing when we leave God's house? That's when you can tell if a person has received a word. You get a word to help your marriage, help your attitude or what have you. What are you doing when you leave? Are you the type of person that received the word with joy, but it don't take no root? No, you and I got to receive God's word, pay close attention, and then leave here putting it in action. That's how when you know a person received the word. Yeah. That's how you know when a person has received the word. And I got to ask, how many have ever heard the word, knew it was for you, but you didn't put it into action the way you should have? Where you at? How many done that? You can't do that no more if you expecting God's word to work for you. If you expecting God to produce bigger and better, next level things in your life, you just can't be paying attention and not doing. You can't keep coming to marriage counseling and hearing what you need to do to make your marriage better, but then go back with your spouse and don't put it into action. You can't do that. Well, you can, but it ain't gonna help your marriage. If you call me or call somebody mature and be like, what should I do? And they tell you what to do, and you be like, I agree, you're right, and I feel much better. But then you don't put it into action. The Bible says you deceiving yourself. It ain't going to work for you. It ain't going to work. Whether you're a preacher, a teenager, or what have you, it's not going to work. So I have to receive that word. Look at somebody say, you got to receive that word. Let me tell you, when you start receiving the word, your mindset going to start changing. Your conversation and how you talk going to start changing. But most importantly, your actions. And so Paul was telling them, look, y'all heard the word from us and y'all received it. Y'all didn't reject it. Y'all put it into action. Boy, it blows my mind when God give us a word, but we don't do it. That ain't right. Look at somebody say, that ain't right. Yeah. Them days need to be over. Amen. Them days need to be over. When God send you a word, a right now word, receive it. Receive it. Well, I don't want to receive it. Well, God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Why? They rejected it. They didn't receive it. What did they do? They rejected it. They didn't want to do it. They heard it, came to church, amened it, wrote it down, but didn't want to do it. You have to fight to put God's word into action sometime. You know, you have to break up fallow ground to make sure that the ground receives a seed. I like plants. I like plants at my house. You know, one of my sons said, Dad, I know you're getting old. I said, why? You got a lot of plants around here. But one thing I found out about plants is plants need good ground or seed to go in good ground so it can grow. And sometimes, young folks, you got to break up what the Bible says, that fallow ground. You got to make sure you're receiving that word on a good heart. You got to get your attitude right. You got to get your mindset right. And then you just got to put the word into action. Ain't no way you come in God's house jacked up and mean, and then we hear a good word and you still leave jacked up and mean. No, you didn't receive God's word. You got a hard heart. You got to break that up. Woo, look at somebody say, you got to break that up. Let's move on in the same verse. So if I want God's word to work, what I got to do? I got to receive it. And what does it mean to receive? Pay attention closely and put it into what? And let me tell you something. Some things God tells some of us to do, it's just going to be challenging. It's going to challenge your faith. Yeah. It's going, as the old folks say, it's going to stretch you. Yeah. God will tell us some things during the message, and we'd be like, I know this God. And some of us, we'd be like, I rebuke that because it's challenging in your faith. No, no, just receive it. I said, just receive it. Okay, then he says in the verse, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, let's pick it up. God, without ceasing, because you received the word of God, which you heard from us. Look at this. You welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. So the second thing they did, they welcomed the word. So I need to receive it and welcome it. Just let that word just marinate. Just let that word just settle in my spirit. I love how James said it. He said, receiving the engrafted word of God. He talked about receiving it with humility that is able to save your soul. Bottom line, young folk, when we welcome the word, we allow the word to convert or change us. Amen. You allow that word to take you from being sad and depressed to being happy. Amen. Now, you can choose to stay sad and depressed. But you have to allow the word to convert you. You can stay mean, but you have to allow that word to convert you to a person of joy. Because one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. So you have to allow that word to cause you to be a happy person. And see, for you, you may not just always be walking around smiling. Hey, praise the Lord, how you doing? No, but one step for you is just put a smile on your face. That may just be the first step for you. Look, just smile. Then you move from smiling and throwing up your head. Hey. You just, hey, man, she ain't mean like she used to be. Why? She's smiling and saying, hey. Because I'm telling you, folk, they pick up on mean folk. Man, she don't never talk. She just walk by all the time. But you allow that word to start causing you to change for the better. Let that word convert you. Let that word transform you. Yeah, welcome that word. It's some folk, you have to wonder about them because it seems like they're more conscious of the devil and demons. They're the type of folk that like to say, you know, the devil busy. Man, look, when you allow that word to convert you, you become more conscious of God. Now, should we be conscious of the devil? Yeah, but not all the time. Everything is not the devil. Paul even said some things just have to do with our imagination. So you have to allow that word to convert you. Welcome that word. I'm not right. Let me change. Let me change. Let me just let this word change me. My total being. Let me just let it change. Let me just quit saying this just me. No, let that word change you. Because if any man be in Christ, he should be new. So when you say, this just me, you're not letting that word change you. Let that word change you. Isn't it amazing how we let other things change us? We let other things change us if we just be honest. But it's time for us to welcome the word and let the word do what? Change us for the better. Welcome that word. Be determined. I'm not going to leave the same way I came in. I'm going to let that word change me. Ooh, they welcomed the word of God, not as word of men, but as the truth. How many know truth will change you? Truth will, the Bible says, make you free. Truth hurt. Sometimes I said truth does what? It hurt. Truth will reveal to you and I our faults. But accept that. Let that truth change. If you mean in the preaching, why he keep talking about mean folk? Because it's the truth. Let that truth, even though it hurt, just let it change. You don't even have to wonder if he talking about you, because other folk be like, I know who that's for. No, you need to know. That's for you. Let the truth change you. Let me ask y'all again, how many has the truth ever made you mad? Truth sometimes, it's so powerful. Some folk be thinking the preacher be talking to folk. Preacher ain't talking to folk. It's just the truth will get to coming forth, and the first one you focus on is the one that's saying it. Preacher up there done talked to. No, preacher ain't talked to nobody. That's just truth coming forth. But don't be mad. Or if you be mad, just don't sin. Don't sin. Don't sin. Just let the truth change you. Don't get mad when mama say you nasty. Don't get mad. Don't get mad when she say you nasty. Is it the truth? Just go ahead and say, don't get mad when somebody say you lazy. You are so lazy. Don't get mad. Is it the truth? Somebody be like, you love money. You do anything for money. Don't get mad. Let the truth change you. Don't get mad. Somebody tell you, I don't really think you saved. I'm wondering. Don't get mad. I am saved. But let's just look at your lifestyle. Is it the truth? Is it the truth? Don't get mad. Let truth convert. Welcome it. Lord have mercy. Y'all mad at me already? Look at somebody say, welcome the truth. And it hurt. Because sometimes we don't like who it's coming from. We don't like the messenger. But if it's the truth, it's just the truth. But this church, they welcome the truth. How many got to do better at welcoming the truth? Some of us that are married, you love your wife, but sometimes your wife has a way of telling you the truth, and you really don't want to. You don't want to hear from her. You don't want to hear from her, but it do be the truth. You just don't want to hear it. But if you welcome the truth, it'll make the marriage and the family a whole lot. God had to tell Abram, look, listen to your wife. Woo, she was saying something. God had to tell, listen to your wife say, listen to her. Lord have mercy. I lost my brothers. And see, young folk always talking about, man, keep it a buck. Be real with me. But when you drop that realness on some folk, look at somebody say, welcome the truth. Wow, what will it do? It will convert you. It'll convert you. Welcome the truth. If it's the truth, let it make you free. Lord have mercy. I got to show y'all. Y'all follow me the psalm real quick. Follow me the psalm. I lost my help. Let me see if this is it. Let me see. Bottom line, look at somebody say, the truth will convert you. No, that ain't where I wanted to go in Psalm. We'll leave it alone. Let's go in back to 1 Thessalonians. Now, I don't want to mess it up because I'm rolling. Let's close it out. So what did we see in the text so far? I done gave you two truths. What have we seen so far? What do we need to do? Receive the word. Secondly, we need to welcome the word as truth. And then finally, he closes the verse out, believe the word of God. He said it effectively works in you who believe. It's going to work if I trust this word, if I walk in it. I got to rely on this word to do for me what it promised. Oftentimes, young adults get to a place, and I'm talking like my 20-somethings, they get to a place to where you start relying on the world system. You can't get in that rut, okay? Don't get to the point, young people, to where you start trusting in a job, yourself, your education, because when you get out in the world, you're going to be exposed to a lot of things that seemingly work, but they're not guaranteed like the Bible, like the Word of God. So you have to always make sure that you're the type of young adult that believes God's Word. You rely on God's Word despite what you experience in life as a young adult. Yeah. You get to working and making money, it can become easy to start trusting in that job. But you don't trust in a job. Jobs can shut down tomorrow. You always have to be to the point to where you have the mindset, no matter what comes and goes, I'm going to trust in the Lord. Gonna trust his word. Yeah. You go through things in your body. Yeah. And so when you was living at home, you had parents, they would pray for you, they tell you to do this, do that, and God would heal. But when you out on your own and you in them young adult years, you have to learn to trust God for your healing. Trust God for your deliverance. God, you said in your word, this right here. This is what I'm going to believe. Yeah. And so you have to be careful that you don't get caught up and start trusting in this world's system. You have to be careful, young people, young adults. Look at somebody say, you got to be careful. And as teenagers, preteens, you have to set the habit that, look, I'm going to trust God with all my heart. I'm going to trust God with all my heart and lean not to my own. Understand. You have to start right where you are, because I'm telling you, this world has a way of seducing you if you're not careful. And you can, if you're not careful, you can start trusting in men and the ways of the world more so than God. But we must believe God's word. And when we do, it's going to work. It's going to work. God will take you through things as a young adult where you're going to have to learn to depend on him to supply your need. Whether it's emotional, whether it's financial, or what have you, if you truly Christian, God going to try your faith. He going to try your faith. And last week I was telling you about with my job and employ. I done been there. Look at somebody, been there, done that. Yeah, and I've been there, and God had to examine me. Is Baker going to trust me or trust this system? And as a young adult, some of you right now, as you're growing, you're going to go through things. You have to make sure you're trusting God so he can do what he said in your life, or continue to do what he said in your life according to his word. Because for only so long, you can ride off what your parents do. For only so long. You can only ride off of them for so long. You have to learn how to rely on God for yourself. Yeah. How many know it's wonderful to have parents that you can go to? But that only lasts for so long. You have to learn how to get your deliverance for yourself. Right? So you start believing his word. I'm just going to walk in this word. What I hear from God's prophet, I'm going to start putting it out in action. I'm going to receive it. I'm going to welcome it. And I'm going to walk in it or believe it. And what God going to start doing? He going to start manifesting himself to you. And start doing bigger and better things in your life. Why? Because you're a faith walker. Yeah, you're a faith walker. How many understand that? Yeah. Three folk understand. What about the rest of y'all? How many understand it? Yeah. So when I believe the word as a young person, I'm just going to walk in that word. What I hear, I'm going to walk in. That's what I'm relying on. God used Minister George to talk about Elder Beasley's testimony of a hundredfold blessing. Oh, I heard that. I received that for myself. And I'm just going to walk there. I'm going to walk therein. That's how we believe the word. Y'all with me? All right. I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap for the text and the topic. Help me tell somebody, say, God's word effectively works.
You say you're searching for happiness. This the way to go. You say you want peace. This the way to go. If you're trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all wanna live. This the way to go. The show. 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 This the way to go. The show.
You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go. Thank you for listening to today's message. Please be sure to stop by Pastor Baker's website. Go to www.jeromeabaker.com. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You just need to know the way to go.